The rose is not concerned with how it is going to look five petals unfolded out from now. It is just in the very act of unfolding in the moment. And if we can live our lives more like that, the entire experience of being alive would be completely different because we would not have this. So often, like what you were talking about with the voice, a huge part of what I feel that is about is this experience of essentially judging ourselves from the outside before we've even had a chance to say something. And so that can often shut down the impulse to share something at all because what will people think? It's terrifying, people's judgments. And that is very real. And something that can really help to dissolve that fear is to embody the experience of being the rose unfolding.
Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Welcome back to Feed Your Wild. I am your host and intuitive nourishment guide, Vanessa Rodriguez. And as I'm recording this, you might hear it in the background chiming in, but my family is playing what sounds like Gregorian chants. And it feels fitting for this introduction and this episode because it feels so incredibly as though Sarah Artemisia, our special guest today, is taking us to church, diving into the enchanting world of plant spirit medicine. Sarah introduces us to the fascinating world of plant spirits and shares her personal journey of awakening to the profound connection between humans and plants. From hippie parents and a Quaker upbringing to Akashic records and financial coaching, Sarah's journey and story is truly unique, and she's a magical being. I didn't realize how much we actually had in common. When I was living in Southern Oregon, we were living not too far from each other, although unfortunately, I did not know her or get to meet her in person when I was living in Oregon. But her orientation and her devotion to the living world and the seen and unseen realms, to plant spirit medicine, to communion with the more than human world, and bringing all of that medicine into grounded, rooted practice here on Earth in support of our collective evolution. It's truly a shared vision and mission, and how she integrates it all in her own unique work and path is inspiring. It is Scorpio season, after all, and Sarah, being a Scorpio herself, is no stranger to diving deep. So not only are we having her on today to chat about plant spirit medicine, but Sarah is also a holistic financial coach. I'm bringing her back on the podcast later this month to talk about money. Such a wonderfully scorpionic topic. And I love Sarah's perspective. So I'm excited for you to tune into that. Sarah was also a guest mentor for the Wild Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. She led a class on discovering your money archetype and making empowered financial decisions. We will talk more about that in the following episode. But in this episode, we are getting into discovering how nature itself is conscious and How to learn the art of validating the experiences of plant spirits, even when their language and perception differ from our own. We explore practical exercises to deepen our connection with plants, from body scans to physical contact, as we learn to trust our own inner wisdom. This is a joyful conversation as we explore the importance of self-acceptance, self-love, and self-validation in allowing our unique gifts to flourish, really fostering community with others and the environment, especially the green world. The time is ripe to connect with plant spirits and collectively rekindle our holistic relationship with the natural world. So let us dive in. Welcome everybody back to the Feed Your Wild podcast. Today, I am thrilled to welcome on Sarah Artemisia. I have to share that there's so much bubbling that wants to come through in our connection, in our conversation. I know you're going to be really, really pleasantly surprised with what comes through today. Sarah is a plant spirit wisdom teacher, Akashic Records reader, flower essence practitioner, and host of the Plant Spirit Podcast. She helps wellness professionals and empaths learn the energetic language of plants and how to work in collaboration with the conscious wisdom of nature. Sarah's been coaching people to move through obstacles and connect more deeply with the earth and their inner guidance for over 15 years, and she deeply loves the land and place where she lives, which is the traditional ancestral homelands of the Takelma and Shasta people in Southern Oregon. My heart goes to Southern Oregon. Having always felt connected to nature and the sacred foundation of life, Sarah shares this work with people on the journey of understanding how collaborating with the conscious wisdom of nature can help them fully embody an experience of joy and purpose. Sarah, I'm very excited to have you. Thank you so much.
Oh, Vanessa, thank you so much. It's such a joy to be here. I'm excited for our conversation.
Me too. We have connected a couple of different times, and with me on your podcast and just sort of conversations in between, discovering so many overlaps that are a total surprise and really amazing and synchronistic. So there's so much to cover, but where I always love to start as a touch point is the beginning. The beginning, because there is such beauty in what you do. And I know I hear people like, how do you even get there? How does one step into that path and calling and do so in such a beautiful and really robust way? Like, your work is so gorgeous and it's so healing, and so many of the messages that come through your work and your connection with others on this path as well. So I know there's probably a long story. What are you feeling called to share in terms of where it all began for Sarah?
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. And yeah, really what's coming up for me in this moment is how the entire journey in all facets is really about reconnecting with a state of wholeness. And so there are so many different avenues and ways to do that. And the way that I began in this life on this journey, there are two primary things coming to mind right now that are really key to that. And one is that I was raised by hippie parents. So in the plant journey, I didn't know that not everyone grew up drinking herbal teas, taking herbal tinctures. I just thought that was how it was, you know, that everyone had a garden that they grew food out of and things like that. So from a really young age, I felt very connected with the plants. And so I've always been on this plant journey in this life. And the other thing that's really foundational to this experience of the lifelong journey of reconnecting with wholeness is that I grew up Quaker as well. And so for folks who don't know who the Quakers are, they have three basic testaments, which are peace, simplicity, and equality. And the services are held completely in silence. It's basically as Buddhist as you can get and still be Christian, where the services are held completely in silence. Even as a kid, you'll sit for an hour, tune into what is the inner light or inner voice within saying. And then if you feel called to share that with the group, you stand up. You could be 5, 85, doesn't matter what age, and then share the message and then sit back down. And then the whole rest of the service stays in silence. So for me, that aspect of connecting in with the inner wisdom, the inner voice within, I'm so grateful that that was a huge foundational part of my worldview growing up, because for me, it's super foundational in the experience of connecting with plants, with humans too, with anyone, to just know what is going on internally in the core self at any given moment, that there's a way to do that, to access what that is. And that for me is very simply sitting in silence and tuning in. So that I would say is really the foundation of all my work in every modality that I have ever worked in. It's really about coming from a space of mindful connection with that modality. So yeah, that's really what's coming to mind to share for this moment.
That's so profound. And it also makes me think about how, gosh, such a gift to orient oneself to that inner world and state, but then also cultivating the trust in what comes through, in what you receive or perceive, and then to be able to use your voice to share that with a group in a community. And I just see how powerful that is, especially now where I feel so many people are disempowered with their voice, especially women. And even growing up, I mean, I myself had this a little bit, but I see it even more so with my parents and in slightly older generations, where kids were not allowed to share their input. It was kind of like the quieter you were, the better of a kid, child you are. You know, you're like a good child if you don't talk back, share your opinions, that kind of thing. And so there's this conditioning that's very deeply rooted for so many people in so many cultures, that to feel like, man, being a six-year-old, let's say, in a community like that, and having the stage, the allowance to share what comes through, and the affirmation that that's valuable for the community to receive, I think it's like a gift beyond anything. I mean, because especially now, I feel like the utilization of our voices is so, so critical. How do you feel that work, like voice work internally and externally, has informed your path? And I mean, we could say worldview, but like, let's start with your specific path and as a healer.
Oh, wow. That is amazing. Thank you for that question. Truly for me, the answer to that is about the orientation to being a conduit and really recognizing, okay, if there is this, the given being that there is an inner voice within, that we all have this inner wisdom, this inner knowing, there can be a lot of pressure. There is a lot of pressure in today's world to be perfect or say the right thing in the right time. And that can shut a lot of people down. And you layer all the thousands of years of patriarchy on top of that and suppressing the woman's voice and all of this. So what's been so helpful for me in this process is to really tune in and orient myself as a conduit for the message that wants to come through. And what I mean by that is there's a phrase that came to me about 20 years ago, which is doing as the spilling of your being. And so this is how I try to orient in everything that I do, whether that is with the plant spirit work, financial coaching, Akashic records, friendships, relationships with people, with plants, with all life, that how can to just pose this question and let my actions be the response to that inquiry of how in this moment my doing, can my actions be the spilling of my being? And however that comes out is how that comes out. And what's coming to mind in this moment, are you familiar with the painter Jackson Pollock?
Yes. Yeah.
So he's one of my favorite painters of all time, not because I like the aesthetic of his work at all. And for those of you who aren't familiar with his work, he is a modern painter who would just take blobs of paint and throw them on the canvas at random. It's not a particularly attractive looking work. It has a very contemporary aesthetic. There's no shapes, there's no forms that he's trying to create. And I love his approach to painting because his whole approach is about how the very act of throwing the paint onto the canvas is itself a meditation, that what then is the physical result of that is secondary to the very act of being in meditation as he's throwing the paint, or as he was throwing the paint. And so that to me has been incredibly inspiring in this living of answering that inquiry of how can what I do be a natural spilling of the inner core being inside, and that how it looks is secondary because the essence of what is coming through is primary. And the beauty that comes out of that, and I see this with the plants as well. For example, another way that I witnessed this kind of experience is in watching flowers bloom, how they're not concerned with, for example, when I look at a rosebud unfold, the rose is not concerned with how it is going to look five petals unfolded out from now. It is just in the very act of unfolding in the moment. And if we can live our lives more like that, the entire experience of being alive would be completely different, because we would not have this. So often, like what you were talking about with the voice, a huge part of what I feel that is about is this experience of essentially judging ourselves from the outside before we've even had a chance to say something. And so that can often shut down the impulse to share something at all, because what will people think? It's terrifying, people's judgments. And that is very real. And something that can really help to dissolve that fear is to embody the experience of being the rose unfolding, of, you know, what does it mean to unfold in this moment from the inside out, not to judge it, but to come from that place of unfolding from the inside out and really notice what arises. And you'll be surprised because it's not premeditated. It's this very natural being in the moment. And I see also with some of my very dear friends who are in their 70s right now that even though they might use a completely different language to describe what I just described, that they are in that experience of living in the present moment. And I think that allows the voice to flow through more clearly.
I adore this image and what feels like an invitation to embody that in full presence. It feels like a contemplative practice. It feels like a living meditation, you know, bringing us to the present, but not just that, it's like alive and awake to the present. So like where you're actually alive and awake to the living experience of it, which I think moves us in ways that we can't really comprehend with our mind, right? Like I know that I've had certain instances like that, that I could look back on and say, even though on the outside, it didn't look like anything, quote, happened, but the internal shift or transformation was life-changing, because it maybe like took me to a different vantage point, like took me to a different timeline, right? Like whatever way you want to describe it. And, you know, what's coming through about this also is as you do this, I mean, I'm speaking from my experience, and I'm assuming that this is true for most people, is that you also become so acutely aware of your own being, your own voice in that process, because I feel like so many of us carry lots of different voices that we don't even realize are not ours, lots of conditioning, lots of thought forms, like lots of different things that are in our field and in our genes, in our bones. And then communing with other energies, for example, plant spirits. Like, so with all of that being said, I'm curious your experience and orientation around communion with, well, communion with self in that way, if there's anything that comes through you about that that you'd like to speak to, but also communion with other voices, whether it was like voices that you're carrying or voices that you're consciously working with. Or maybe like you're not even consciously working with, but like you're like, whoa, this is not mine. Yeah, I'd love to hear like any insights that come through about that.
Yeah, the first thing that's coming to mind actually is one of my first experiences that I had where I was aware of plant consciousness and experiencing that. And so I used to work in wilderness therapy many years ago. And we'd be gone for 1 week, 2 weeks at a time, taking at-risk youth out into the wilderness, doing therapeutic processing groups, lots of backpacking, lots of hiking. So because it's been enough time, I feel fine to share this, that we weren't allowed to bring our phones out into the field. That was a no-no. But because I would work doubles, so I'd be out there for 15 days at a time instead of 8, And I wanted to connect with my husband at least once during 15 days. And this is days of flip phones. So there would be one time during the double where I'd kind of sneak off and give him a call, kind of a thing. I'd have to find a place that would have service. And so there was this one time we were way out in the backcountry, no roads, very, very far from any cars. And I go out, I find this good place. It's really close to a juniper tree. And I turned on my phone and all of a sudden I had this experience of this rippling out energetically coming from the tree where it was not used to this experience. First, I was curious, what is this? This is a very different sensation than what I was experiencing 5 seconds ago. And I immediately realized that it was the experience of the tree reacting to the cell phone being turned on and that it was not used to having that kind of vibration in its field. And so that experience of recognizing, oh, I am connecting with, in the same way that when we walk into a room of people, and I'm sure many people listening, you can relate to this. When you walk into a room of people and maybe you've never met any of those people before, but you can immediately feel the savoring, the flavor of laughter, even if the laughter has just finished and no one's laughing in that moment. Or similarly, if there's an argument in a room that you just walked into and you can feel that there's tension in the air, even though no one's saying anything and there's nothing physically that would relay that information to you. It was that same exact kind of experience with the tree. And so I think a huge part of that in your asking about the communion piece is really understanding that, of course, we are all connected. Every living being has DNA. And so there is some biochemical exchanges that are happening, regardless of if we're consciously aware of it, anytime we're near another living being, that there are different ways that we can perceive that experience of communion. And I think it's important for each of us on the intuitive journey to really understand what is our way of receiving intuitive information. And so for me, for example, the felt sense sensation, very somatic, that experience with the tree, with the juniper tree, being aware of the cell phone being turned on, I felt that in my body. It was a visceral experience. Similarly, when I walk into a room and people have just been laughing or having an argument, I'll feel it in my body. There will be a relaxation or a tension that I feel in my body, but that's not everyone's way. And so I do think it's really important in the journey of, in the intuitive journey for each of us to really start to explore and get to know what is our way that we receive information about what's going on with other people, with other living beings in the environment, and to really fine tune that and hone in on that, recognizing that no one way is better than any other way. For example, if you smell things really clearly, or you see things, or you hear things, or just whatever way it comes in for you, it's so important to honor that, because just like how in nature, no one other plant is ever trying to be another type of plant. And I think that is really where it's very unfortunate if you experience that the comparing mind is so loud. That is a part of that voice stifling that you were talking about earlier, because when we compare ourselves to someone else, it doesn't allow us to fully let our own gifts come through. And in order for us to let our gifts come through, we have to honor who we are. And so I think that's really where it starts. I think that's really where the communion starts, is by self-acceptance, self-love, and just self-acknowledgement, self-validation, you know, that this is so important in the journey.
I think this is so critical, and it connects in with, you could say, the teachings or understandings of knowing thyself, because it's like, as a foundation for, quite literally, like, especially for intuitives, is like knowing thyself is the foundation. And I feel like the acceptance is part of that. It's like a critical part of that process and that state. And, you know, it's like multidimensional, right? There's like a lot to that. And I can also see how, when I feel like, I'm just even feeling from people like tuning in, how challenging that can be. Do you have any tips, or like, have you found even maybe specific plant spirit allies that are supportive in that journey to self-acceptance, self-love, to knowing thyself, you know, like, in all different orientations, like maybe there's different pathways to that, but have you found certain specific plants to be supportive?
Yeah, great question. Of course, and I know it's going to be a no surprise to you, rose has been gigantic in that journey. Gigantic for me, for folks I've worked with. The closest plant to me right now is a giant rose bush. It's about 3 feet away. So in all my work, anytime I'm at my desk, me and Rose are working together. And yeah, wow, there is so much I could say about Rose. The things coming to mind in this moment are what I was sharing about earlier, this unfolding from the inside out. Rose is so supportive for the heart. And also Rose has thorns and a woody stem. And it's so important to recognize, particularly for women, that it's okay and in fact necessary to have thorns, understand boundaries, and be really rooted into the earth with solidity. This is also a very important part of being very soft and open and loving in the heart, is also understanding that it's vitally important as well in the journey to have compassionate boundaries. And so Rose, of course, has been a huge ally and teacher for me. And I do feel that planetarily. However, for folks who don't resonate with that, and I wasn't always a flower person either. The Quakers are very humble. It's not about how anything looks. It's not showy at all. So there's a huge value in being very modest. So growing up, I always felt very connected with what I call the underdogs of the plant world, like the weeds, the plantains, the green ones, the ones that are not showy at all. Because for me, there's that basic fundamental value of equality of recognizing, okay, well, everyone loves the roses and the dahlias. You know, what about the plantains of the world? Like, what about those plants? But it's so important to recognize that. And so I think that that's also a really important part of the experience, is not to at least attempt or have an intention of not prejudging. For example, if you want to connect with a plant, if you feel drawn, for example, to a violet, which is a very quiet, demure, stunningly gorgeous flower, but may not be as showy as something else, that there's a lot of value in that. And so an exercise that's very simple that I would recommend for folks if you want to start to do this would be to just go on a walk, ideally if you can, not with your dog, if your ritual is to walk your dog every day and go outside, because that can be kind of distracting. So just to find maybe 20 minutes where you can go for a walk outside and just have a soft gaze. And what I mean by that is when you're walking and you're aware of your peripheral vision, where it's not so focused front and center, but just to have the intention to go for a walk as if your peripheral vision is your entire vision. So it's very soft. You're just kind of almost as if you're listening through your eyeballs. It's like that, rather than looking out, you're listening in through your eyes. And notice if there's a plant, or could be any type of creature, but plants in this case, because I feel very connected with plants, are incredible teachers. To notice if there's a plant that just kind of sticks out to you in your peripheral vision or with this soft gaze. And if you go sit with this plant, or just go up to this plant, and ask it this question of what is it like to be you? And notice what comes back. And notice what comes back without judgment. Because you may find you ask that question and then all of a sudden this super random song from the 80s comes back. And you're like, what does that have to do with anything I just said? It's highly likely there's a message in that. And so that can be really, really helpful to the process of connecting in with the plants. And there was something else in there too. Ask the question again that you wanted me to answer, because there's something else in there.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm like so in it and I get lost in where we are.
Totally.
We don't have the rewind button, but let me.
Or even where you're feeling called. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm feeling, as a listener, so I'm always like trying to tap into that listener field, and I'm inspired. I'm seeing the possibilities of how this can support me and like excitement around developing it. But I feel like there's still a lack of trust in the process. Like, you know what I mean? Because especially for those who maybe aren't as familiar with the concept of plant spirits, because I know there's probably some folks listening in who aren't necessarily, maybe they've never consciously communed with a spirit of a plant. Could you maybe give us like a little primer on what they are, like what it means to connect with them? You know what I mean? To kind of like open that field up of awareness so that people can build more trust in stepping into that world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a great question. So for the lack of trust piece, that's a huge journey in and of itself. And in the experience of communing with another, basically interspecies communication is what we're talking about. Well, first, actually, I want to start with the plant spirits question. So considering this question of what is a plant spirit, there's a foundational layer to that, which is recognizing that we live in a conscious world, we live in a conscious universe, that our ancestors, no matter where we are on the planet, our ancestors knew this. And in the process of colonization, moving through the patriarchy, that our understanding that we live in a living world, that all of nature all around us is conscious, has gotten cut off. And it's been severed, that understanding, that deep inner knowing, it's been severed. And so the experience of connecting, when I say plant spirits, all I mean by that is that nature is conscious, that just in the same way as we connect with a human and they can communicate back to us, that the plants are exactly the same, that they have a consciousness, and that even though they don't communicate in English and have the same kinds of nervous and organ systems as us, that they have a language in which they speak, that there are different ways to understand and interpret this language. And in the human way, you could think of this as when you hang out with different groups of friends, or maybe even just two different friends, it's likely that, say, one of your friends is super boisterous, loves to go out, have a really loud, good time, and another one of your friends is really quiet and calm. You're probably not going to be talking in the exact same way to each of them when you're on the phone, chatting, hanging out in person. It's likely that the types of things that you talk about and the way that you talk will be different because you are communing with that person. You're connecting with them in this shared space together. And it's the same with the plants. And so to connect with the plant spirits is really to connect with this understanding that you are encountering another living being. It's honestly not woo-woo at all. It's like very concrete. Is this a living being? Yes. Am I a living being? Yes. That's really what it is that we're talking about, is that this is a living being that has a perception of its experience, and that that perception is different than the human perception, but that doesn't make it any less valid. And this is where the validation piece is also really key as well, because just because this living being is not speaking in our human linear language does not mean that it is not experiencing its environment. And so that's what I mean when I say plant spirits. And so for the trust piece, this trips people up all the time. And the thing that's coming to mind around that is the incredible value and importance of first quieting the mind and connecting in with the current moment of what the self is experiencing first, before you go to encounter another living being. And this is actually a great practice to do with humans as well, before picking up the phone to text someone or anything. Just what is going on? It's a mindfulness practice, essentially. What is going on in this moment? And so some very practical things, some very practical way to do that would be to just do a very simple body scan of just starting the bottom of the feet and just checking in, like, okay, how are the bottoms of my feet feeling? Okay, legs, what am I experiencing in my legs right now? And then just torso, heart space. What's the quality in my heart space right now? Am I feeling really open and expansive? Am I feeling contracted? Am I feeling kind of numb? Has this day actually been pretty intense and I just kind of want to shut down right now? So really just notice without judgment. I think that's really the key piece in the trusting process, is to just allow and recognize, okay, this is happening in this moment, and I'm not going to try to change that. I'm just going to be a witness. And so really the trust piece in my experience starts with being the witness, being the observer, and really recognizing, asking this question, what is happening in this moment? And is it possible to not have a reaction around that, but just to ask this question of what is happening in myself in this moment? Is my mind really busy? Is my mind feeling anxious? Is it feeling calm? What is it feeling? And so after doing that quick scan, and I mean, the way I just described it could even be a lot longer than the actual process itself, which could just take 30 seconds, just a super quick, what's going on in this body right now? And then when you go sit with a plant, to just notice, or something that can be super helpful for this actually, is to take a tea or a tincture, ingest something, have some kind of super physical contact experience with the plant. Or maybe, I think I've shared this with you before with rose, but one of the things I love doing with rose is just picking a rose as it's just about to drop its petals and just rubbing it all over my face. That is anytime I want to get in the bliss mode, if the flowers are doing that right outside my door, that is absolute heaven to me. But yeah, just to have a very physical experience with the plant, and then do that check-in again with yourself after that. Just do a quick scan of like, okay, has anything shifted at all? Has anything shifted at all? Like, does any part of me, do I feel a little bit more, even if it's, for example, if it's something you're smelling, are my senses feeling a little bit more open? Is my nose a little bit more sharp? Am I more aware of what's happening in the environment? That is a great way to start the process on the journey of trusting yourself. You're not asking yourself to change anything. All you are doing in that moment is being the witness, being the observer. And there is so much wisdom that comes from the experience of being the observer, being the witness in our own life.
Hey there, I'm interrupting this lovely conversation to bring you a special invitation. If you are a clinician, a practitioner, a healing artist of any level, maybe you're just starting out, or perhaps you're a seasoned practitioner, if you feel that your soul is aching for a change, that something is calling you, you want to go deeper with your medicine, you want to know and expand your intuitive gifts, you know that your calling is to be an intuitive holistic healer, but you're not sure what that means or looks like. Well, I have a special private training where you will learn my 3-part intuitive healing matrix. This is the foundational piece for all holistic healing practices, and it's what has guided my work and so many others. This private training is called How to Create a Transformative Intuitive Healing Practice You Love. And you can get access to this training for free when you apply and are accepted to the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, aka WIP. This is our high-touch 9-month intuitive healing mentorship and practitioner mastermind. On this journey inside of WIP, you'll be initiated into the Akashic Records, becoming a reader and a practitioner for intuitive connection, experiencing deep self-healing and unparalleled support for your clients and patients. You'll discover your intuitive gifts and break through blocks, limiting beliefs, fears, and programmings that are holding you back. You'll also channel an integrated body of work that synthesizes your innate gifts, experience, and wisdom. The Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway is an initiation. It's your chariot that will carry you into your next level of healing, both personally and in your work. So I invite you to learn more and apply. You can go to wildlyrooted.com/apply. There are no risks or obligations to join after you apply. And if you're accepted, you'll get that private training on how to create a transformative intuitive healing practice you love. Head over to wildlyrooted.com/apply. I think this is so fundamental, so important. I mean, to have like a healthy human experience, period, right? Like, I think to be human, to speak to what you're saying, to be human means to be in connection with all the living beings around us. Like, there is no separation. There's no siloing. Like, we cannot extract ourselves from this living consciousness and like this field. So I just so appreciate those steps because, and by the way, they also feel so grounded, right? Like, they're simple, they're grounded. What I'm also getting is sometimes people, and I hear this from students too, it feels like there's pressure around, am I intuitive enough? Am I going to be able to hear the voice of the plant and interpret it correctly, right? There seems to be most usually like self-appointed pressure around that. And so I feel like this just kind of takes all of that away, because you're really just calling us to be ourselves in like in a really compassionate level of consciousness, which is that witness consciousness. And what I get from that too is I'm like even tuning in and I kind of look at my own process and I see other students and other healers, that opens up your field to even receive, because like it raises your vibration. I mean, there's a lot there, right? You're raising your vibration. You're quite literally opening things up. You're telling the living world around you that you're paying attention. And so it's like, it becomes almost an invitation to receive and to start a conversation, which that has been true in my experience. Like just like you having my first plant spirit communication experience without trying to do so. I was in a state, I was sort of walking meditation without trying to be. And so you're like literally in a different level of consciousness. And I think this is just so important. Anything that is coming up for you with any of that?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And the big thing coming up right now that's also so key in all of this is the childlike joy and play, to really treat it as an experiment. I think that's another huge part of what happens with the whole stifling experience, the self-appointed pressure, as you named it, is that we can put so much pressure on ourselves of, oh, am I going to get this right? Is this real? Is this really happening? I don't know. How am I going to even understand what's even happening, kind of a thing. Rather, what would it be like if you just went into the experience as if you were with a childlike wonder, with a childlike joy and play, that this is so, so, so important. And so a really simple thing coming to mind for me around this that is can just be so helpful is, so in the experience with plants, and particularly with herbal plants, because I love the herbs, there can be a lot of pressure. For example, if you're studying herbalism, to memorize all the facts, memorize all the constituents, what are all the healing properties of this herb, kind of a thing. And so if you think about if we approached a human like that, who we were meeting in the live, in the living experience for the very first time, and we had read an entire textbook about them, when we memorized all the facts, and we just went up to them and we didn't say, for example, hi, I'm Sarah, who are you? But instead we said, I've read all about you. I know everything about you. Let me tell you who you are and what you are, kind of a thing. That would be a little bit off-putting as a human. So when we begin the relationship with the plants, to approach it in the exact same way that we would in a relationship with a human, with curiosity, introduce yourself. Who are you? Tell me about yourself. And it's likely that that plant is not going to tell you in English. It's going to tell you through maybe the way that the light is filtering through the leaves and the way that the leaves are rustling or the shape of the flower, or with trees, for example, recognizing the way that the tree trunk looks. Does it feel really strong? Does it feel really nourished? What are just some environmental cues that you're picking up? And then through that, there are these different layers that unfold. So that is so essential. And if you think about your experiences with human relationships, it's likely that the ones that you have in your life that have an element of childlike play or joy do really inspire a lot of joy. And so for me, that is the whole, well, two things in the journey with the plants: massive amounts of healing that can be catalyzed in a very short amount of time, that the plants support that, and also that it is a very joyful path. And so that is why I love plants, because it's the path of joy and healing. And I can't think of anything better, honestly. So I just love them because of that.
Totally. And I feel like they don't have the same baggage that other humans do, you know, when like you enter into a relationship, when you were talking and like really orienting, which I think is really helpful for us people to hear, is like, how would you connect with another human? Well, you want mutual respect too. And that's an essential part of this communion with another being. And this is also reminding me, which I didn't tell you before we hopped on, but I was called to pull a tarot card. Sometimes I'm like asked to do that for a particular episode. And I got Two of Cups. So I'm showing Sarah right now. I got Two of Cups. And when I tuned into Two of Cups, I was like, this is interesting. Because for me, like the word that was coming in was partnership. And also like how Two of Cups is really about the relationship with yourself, this internal world, and opening up to the places where we might experience contraction or difficulty or pain, and to accept, like the self-acceptance piece, and how the plant spirits can be partners in that journey, in the work of Two of Cups, which is very deep work and also very essential work for not just living, but also our individual evolution, which contributes to the collective evolution, which, well, you might have something to say about this, but I also, which brings me to just thinking about the collective evolution and where you see connection with and the relationship with plant spirit allies in that process of like collective evolution, which is a whole nother podcast episode.
Oh yeah, that is so big. That's so big. Well, first of all, I love that you pulled the Two of Cups immediately. What came up for me around that is relationship. It's all about relationship. And so if we're looking at relationship with self, relationship with other people, relationship with the earth, relationship with the entire collective, that there's this experience of the microcosm and the macrocosm. That's really what I'm feeling with this Two of Cups experience. And when you're talking about the individual evolution and how this connects the collective evolution, this is exactly the experience of the microcosm. Because when we are in tune with, if we think of ourselves, and if this is not your belief system, I would just encourage you to just imagine what would this be like if this were true, kind of in the same way of the experimentation, the play of, if you imagine that your body is a microcosm of the earth and you love the earth so much, there's a disconnect happening every time you experience self-loathing, talking badly to yourself. Oh, I'm not good enough. This comparing mind that comes in. It's like, okay, well, what? And this is actually really, really helpful for me in my journey with self-acceptance, because the human journey is wild. It's so crazy. And the self-judgment piece can be really, really loud at times. And so to ask this question of, okay, is this how I would treat the earth? Is this how I would treat a small animal? Like, is this how I would treat someone else? No. So to then just flip the lens a little bit and say, okay, if I was orienting to the earth right now, how would I orient to this body? It's like, it's orienting to the body as earth, orient, understanding that whatever we are experiencing in the microcosm, it ripples out to the macrocosm. And so this is why my whole orientation to my work is really starting from within, because when we start from within, there's this natural rippling out experience that occurs. And I'm sure many of you who are listening had this experience of recognizing that, I mean, of course, the entire world in the past few years, there's been massive changes, that we are clearly going through a massive time of transformational shifting on the planet. And so something, there's a lot of challenges that come with that. And something really amazing that comes with that is that we can be in a space where we start to imagine and dream into, and then start to live into, what is the life that we want to create on this planet together, to really ask that question from a space of genuine inquiry and notice what arises as a result. And for me, the experience of connecting with the plants is so incredibly joyful, that just as you said, the plant spirits can be incredible partners in the life's work. For me, I am walking with the plants all the time. They are with me all the time, guiding and informing my work, whether that is, you know, as we were talking about earlier, whether that is with spreadsheets or whether that is in my direct work with the plant spirits themselves or any kind of offering, to be able to consult and work in a co-creative partnership with an intelligence that is our elders. The plants are our elders on this planet. And so I feel so grateful to have a direct connection with them, as we all do. This is our birthright. Our DNA knows how to do this. And so connecting with plants, connecting with plant spirits, it's not like you have to learn anything new. It's just remembering. That's it. It's just remembering what your DNA already knows. And when we allow that to come through, in my experience, there is a whole multidimensional way of being that opens up and catalyzes in a really short amount of time, which is amazing, because we need that right now on the planet. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening, and we need, the world is calling us to come forward. And the way that I experience this is to really embody what I call our cosmic soul self fully in this body, in this life. And there are many tools and many ways to do this. the plants are a huge avenue that can be incredibly supportive, I believe, for everyone, but especially if you feel called to it. But really, it doesn't have to be the plants. It can be any kind of discipline, any kind of avenue to really help you anchor your being more fully into this embodied lived experience. The whole world will benefit as a result. So if you think about this aspect of self-trust, self-doubt, when we have this experience of stifling the voice or the self-appointed pressure, like you were talking about earlier, a lot of that can come from a space of feeling very isolated and detached from the rest of life. So what if the next time you feel something like that coming up, there was this experiment, this playful inquiry to both connect with, okay, from my perspective, I always ask this question of, okay, what would nature do in this situation? And then that informs my direction of how I move forward with it. But also to recognize that we're not just doing this inner work for ourselves. On some level, of course, we are doing that, but there's a much bigger level and a much bigger reason that we're doing the inner work. And that is to support the collective transformation of consciousness that's happening on the planet at this time. From my, and I'm sure other people have different perspectives on this, but I truly, really, fully, wholeheartedly believe that is what we are doing here. And that is what we are being called to the table to do. And that is why there is so much massive clearing work, so many challenges, ancestral clearings, like all this super heavy stuff that other people in other generations haven't been able to address because life has just been about survival. And certainly there are billions of people on this planet right now where it still is about survival. And that is incredibly challenging. And for those of us where we are beyond that point of just living at baseline survival, we have an invitation, which is to fully step into our life, is to fully step into our experience. And when we do that, transformation occurs. And when the inner transformation occurs, it ripples out and the outer transformation occurs. And so that is the entire reason that I do any modality that I'm working with. That is why it's for the collective transformation of consciousness that we're currently going through on this planet. And I would be curious for everyone listening, whatever healing modality that you do in your life's work or feel connected to, is there an element of that for you as well? Is there an element of being of service in this life to support the collective? I would bet the answer to that is probably yes on some level.
Well, first mic drop moment, because I just feel like I was feeling the fire being stoked in my heart, Sarah, like you poked it. And I feel that I have heard from not just in my line of work, but I have heard from people in my life that I never thought would speak in similar language. They may not be using the same lexicon, right? Like the specific words that we are using right now, but they're speaking in these ways because I feel that there's this force and this impulse that we are all receiving. So we're all presented with invitations in every moment, and that's going to look different for each person. And I feel like obviously each person in terms of partnership with a plant spirit, that's going to be different for each person based off of like what's going on for them in that moment. But I'm curious on this topic of more like collective healing and evolution. You mentioned Rose, which, you know, Rose is my jam too. Have there been other, I guess we could say like primary plant spirits that seem to be, I know all of them are here for this, obviously, but have there been some in your field of awareness that have been more of like the forefront of this trajectory or like this deep work of the collective transformation of consciousness?
Great question. And absolutely, the trees for sure, 100,000,000%. So the way that I experience trees energetically is that trees are pillars of light all around the planet. And as this experience, and so what the trees connect the earthly consciousness with the cosmos, that their leaves, their branches are antenna. And if you look at the way that tree branches are coming back to this microcosm, macrocosm experience, which really is about recognizing that we live in a fractal universe, that the patterns that we see when we focalize very small, when we microscope really small into what the center of an atom looks like. And then we macroscope way out to the galaxy. There's a lot of similarities. Just even the fact that our galaxy is the shape of a spiral, that there are these inherent patterns. And that's what I mean by living in a fractal universe, is that there are inherent patterns that we see in all different levels of life, of living reality. And so with the trees, for example, if you've ever looked at the way that our brain, our nervous system looks, it looks a lot like a tree. We've got brainstem and we have a brain. So if you look at the different dendritic ways, which is just basically the branching ways that the neurons work in our brains, they look a lot like tree branches. And so the tree branches are essentially, so yeah, there's two things coming up. Cute. So the trees and then also the mycelial network, but I first want to talk about the trees. So with the trees, there is this direct communication happening between the earth and the heavens, straight through the tree trunk and out through the branches, happening energetically all the time. As trees are continuing to get cut down, what I hear from them directly is that there's an invitation for those of us who also feel connected to trees to essentially be like the tree, to be of our tree nature. And what I mean by that is to recognize that we have a trunk. When we stand up straight and tall, that's a completely different experience from when we're slumped over. And so when we stand up straight and tall, to just imagine or visualize basically the self being a conduit of light, this pillar of light, that we can also be anchors of light on this planet. And so that's a huge invitation from the trees in terms of the collective transformation of consciousness. And if you feel called to do that, I would just invite you to walk up to a tree quietly, or you could ask it out loud if there's no one else around too, just to ask, what is it that you're doing? And notice what comes back, and then ask, okay, how can I embody that in my own body right now? How can I embody that? And just play with it. Again, it's just play with it. So that's the first group of beings that I feel like are super supportive for the collective transformation going on right now. And the other, of course, is the mycelial network, which is the underground. People have talked about it as being the internet of nature. I truly feel that it's actually the brain of nature, that the way the information moves through the mycelial network, which is basically just the underground network of mushrooms that all plants communicate, they will exchange nutrients. It's been scientifically proven that trees, for example, they will exchange nutrients through the mycelial network. So to recognize that there is this vast underground network that is essentially the brain of the earth, communicating and exchanging information and nutrients every single second of the day, that this is an equal ally in the experience of the transformation of consciousness. And we can work with the mycelial network, for example, by taking medicinal mushrooms like reishi, cordyceps. You know, there are different lion's mane, just taking different mushroom preparations. And again, this can be a fun area to explore and experiment with as well, of sitting quietly for 30 seconds, maybe taking a few drops of reishi tincture, and then connecting again quietly for 30 seconds, and just notice if anything has shifted. If it hasn't shifted, that's fine. It was just 1 minute of your life. But you may start to notice that there are different things that you become subtly aware of that are shifting when we work with the mushrooms. And so the thing that's so amazing about the mushrooms as well is that they are incredible transmuters. And there's been Paul Stamets, for example, I saw him speak in 2006 in Oakland, and he was talking at that time about how they were putting oyster mushrooms on top of oil spills because the oyster mushrooms can break down the carbon and hydrogen chains, separately digest them, and then to the point where we could actually eat that mushroom. So there's a lot of medicine, both physically and metaphorically, in the experience of the mushrooms, in recognizing there's a lot of trash on this planet that humans have created over thousands of years. And it's really, really important as we're in this process of everything we've talked about to up until this point of, you know, really stepping forward fully into who we are, that there may be things that need to be digested first in order to do that. It's likely there are. So the mushrooms can be incredible allies in that, both individually and then planetarily on every single level, even just the physicality of helping to clean up oil spills. I mean, that's an incredible gift that they offer.
There is so much running through me right now about all of this. First, I just want to share, when you talk about how the trees are giving you the message of like, be the tree, I've gotten that message so many times when I've connected with the records and opened up. And I think it's also helpful to have that repetition of like, hey, remember this, the invitation is still open. So I've had some Akashic Soul Nourishment readings that I've shared on the podcast where like multiple of them are talking about the trees and those messages. And I just love how you are receiving that and you're sharing that right now. And I also love how, like, especially with mushroom and mycelium, how they're making themselves known. I feel like there are different, in the zeitgeist, there's rises of certain energies. And I feel like the mushrooms, especially with more, what would you call it, like mainstream media, like news around adaptogenic herbal medicine, right? Like mushrooms making a big show in that scene, but also microdosing is growing and in awareness. A lot of people that I know are very interested in, people who I never thought would be interested in plant medicine as a modality to support them in very serious conditions. And I think we've gotten to a point in the collective where a lot of people are turning to these plant allies and I guess what would be called alternative healing methods, although we can see them really as like primary healing methods, right? Because we see the systems are broken. We see how there's this almost like top-down, like breaking of these structures and needing to build parallel systems, which is what the mycelium does, right? Like building parallel systems. And so I love that reminder. I love the invitation to connect with these. I really invite everybody just to sort of tune in and start simple, start where you're at, and start with what is calling you most in this moment. And maybe it's a flower, maybe it's a specific tree, maybe it is with mushroom. And you gave so many beautiful pearls. So thank you so much, Sarah, and like pathways to building that relationship for our individual healing and collective as well. There is so much more that I want to talk about and say. And like, I love how there's that like little gem drop of also like you do financial coaching, which I want to do another podcast episode on that. Like, I don't know if you'd be open to come back on. Cause it's like, what? Like this Akashic record reader and flower essence practitioner and like mystic, and she knows her way around a spreadsheet and money. Okay. Like you can't get better than that, Sarah. Would you be down in the future?
I would love that. Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So fun. I love talking with you. It's so fun.
Yeah. And for many of you, like if you're new listeners, you probably, if you're an OG, maybe you heard it like in my first episode, but I never really talk about this. I also have a history of working within the financial industry as well. And I am currently, it's been a year now that I have been receiving the call to talk about that more. I've been doing a lot of work around my relationship with money. I see how really important this is for healers. And oh, there's so much there. So I would love to have an outlet and this space to jam with you on that, because I think there's so much to say and unearth that I'm like, you know, maybe haven't even tapped into. So stay tuned for that, folks. Juicy. All right, Sarah, well, I'm bathing, you know, in all of this goodness. I would love for people to connect with you further. I know that they're going to want to learn more about your work and how they can find you. So what are the best pathways to that? And yeah, so we'll just start there.
Oh, thank you. Yes. So my website is multidimensionalnature.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at multidimensional.nature. I have a Facebook group called the Plant Spirit Herbalism Facebook group. And for financial coaching, you can find me at financialabundancecoach.com. And one last thing, I have a free workshop. If you really want to explore deeper how to connect directly with plant spirits, communicate with plants, I have a workshop on how to communicate with plant consciousness. It's called How to Learn Plant Language. And the website for that is learnplantlanguage.com.
Beautiful. Well, we have one more question that I have to ask you, Sarah, before we let you go. And that is, what is currently feeding your wild? Whether that's body, mind, soul, all the things right now.
Well, at this very moment, this Angelica Tulsi flower essence that I made a few days ago that I took at the very beginning of this episode has just been absolutely amazing. And what I've been experiencing with this essence is this incredible experience from the Angelica of a very soft radiance. It's soft, it's quiet, it's not so out there and loud. It's the soft radiance in the heart. And then with Tulsi, this incredible experience of being in the divine flow of life and really surrendering to that. So I've been having this experience while taking this essence of really seeing, experiencing myself as this ball of soft, radiant light, being in the flow of life. And that has been absolutely amazing. So that's what's coming up this hour.
Okay, I have to share one more thing, synchronicity, okay? Because every episode, I pull a card for myself. It might be an oracle card, it might be a tarot card. Today, I was called to pull from the Herbal Astrology deck. Of course, this is from Adriana Ayales at Anima Mundi, and I got Tulsi.
Of course. Love it. Oh my goodness.
And what I got, yes. And like with their orientation of Tulsi and within this specific oracle deck, Tulsi's connected with wealth. And I think just like the little bits that we just spoke of and planting the seeds for maybe another conversation, it fits right in. So thank you so much, Sarah, for all that you do, this amazing transmission, really, it felt like today. And I'm excited to continue on this path and whatever it looks like in our interweavings. So thanks for coming on again.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. Just such a joy. And you are fully stepped in with your cosmic soul self. And it is so wonderful to connect. And I am just blown away by the overlaps as well. I just love it. But thank you so much for listening to what wants to come through and doing it. Because if you weren't doing that, none of this would be happening. So I just think it's amazing. So thank you.
High fives all around, girl. I love it. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. And please reach out to us on Instagram. I'm at Wildly Rooted. We'd love to continue this conversation. And I'll make sure to have all the links, of course, in the show notes. But do you have a specific handle that they could reach you at?
Yeah, so it's at multidimensional.nature.
Cool. All right, everybody, we'd love to continue the convo and sending you all the love and blessings. Now go forth and connect with the plant spirits.